SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS News.
Australian Paralympic legend Nubi Kosmala competed in a record 12 Paralympics until the Rio Games in 2016 when she was 74. The 9-time gold medalist has been awarded a Medal of the Order of Australia and has been inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. Over her career, she won 13 medals and broke 4 world records. She spoke with T. Mitchell, who asked how this remarkable sporting story began.
Oh, well, we're going back about 60-odd years, a long time ago, because I'm in my 80s. I got involved because I'm the eldest of 5, and I've been disabled all my life. And my brothers and sisters were all in school sport. And then once they left school, they continued with sporting activities. And I went to a normal schooling, Loreto Convent, and I didn't participate in any activity at all because I was in a wheelchair and I was the only person with a disability at the school, obvious disability, like a wheelchair person. So the nuns and the general community thought that, you know, wheelchair people don't do anything except sit around and read a book or talk. So that's sort of what I was doing. And then my younger sisters, they were heavily involved with golf and activities, and they'd left school. This was in my early 20s. And I thought to myself, where are other people with disabilities? You know, where are other wheelchair people? And you'd see them in the street, but very rarely. And eventually I was visiting a friend in the Royal Adelaide Hospital at lunchtime, and a man in the bed next door to him said, "Hello, you look like nice and strong in your shoulders and arms. Do you participate in wheelchair sport?" And I said, "No, what is it and where is it?" And that was the beginning of my sporting career. I went out to Hampstead Centre at Northfield, and he said he would meet me out there. He was a wheelchair user himself. I went out there and started to throw javelins and discus with all wheelchair people, and that was the beginning.
And then your first games were in Tel Aviv in 1968, but you were there working as an assistant secretary. Can you tell me how that came about?
Yes, certainly. Well, the people that I started doing wheelchair sport with at Hampstead Centre, they were polio victims, some of them, and some of them had broken their back in an accident. And 4 of my friends from South Australia were all qualified to go to Tel Aviv. And I qualified as well, but they forgot about me. So I didn't make the team. And then they said, "Libby, why don't you pay your way? You've been working for about 8 years. You must have the money. Why don't you pay your way and come?" And then it was suggested by the senior staff, "If you come, we will ask you to be secretary to the Australian team. You can go to meetings and help out that way and certainly see all the sport as well." So that's what I did do. And it was a fabulous trip. But I did see people participating in swimming and wheelchair racing. And if I'd been a team member, I probably would have come home with gold medals. So I thought to myself at the end of those games, well, it was great fun. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to be competing in 4 years' time.
How did they forget about you? I mean, that must have been a disappointment.
Well, it was, and I was really shocked, and I think, you know, naturally I went home to my parents, and I was so disappointed, and how it came about that I should be secretary of the team, and how it came about that I really should go away with the team, I think it was probably my father, because he was very, very good to me over the years. I think he probably spoke to the higher authorities and said, you know, "Libby is very disappointed." Once they'd named the team, they couldn't put me in at an extra one, at an extra person. So I think behind the scenes, I think my father probably had something to do with it. And I was very happy because because four of my close friends from Adelaide were all there, and one of them in particular was a young boy who's only, he was only about 15, and he came from country South Australia, and he sort of looked on me as almost like his mother down in Adelaide. He lived in the hospital for years and years. I taught him how to drive a car, and so he used to drive my car with my hand controls. He was a disabled boy. And I think, you know, I think he was one that said to me, come on, Libby, pay your way and come. Come and see me race in the 100 metres in my wheelchair. And so I said, well, I think I've got the money. I think I will come. And that's how it came about.
And then after that, you competed in multiple sports, at least in, yes, I think, the Commonwealth Games. What was that like?
Oh, the Commonwealth Games over in Scotland, Edinburgh, wasn't it? Edinburgh, yeah. 1970. They were wonderful, wonderful games. I came home 2 gold, 1 silver, and 4 bronze medals. So it was, I had a very successful trip. And I thought, this is my life. This is what I'm going to do.
And what sports were you competing in during those games?
I did archery and archery. Isn't that terrible? I can't remember. Archery was the gold. I can't remember what the other gold. Well, the other gold might have been for fencing, foil fencing. And then I got a silver for pentathlon, which was 5 events, and then in bronze medals, 4 bronze, 2 for swimming and 2 for wheelchair racing.
Libby, you've got that many gold medals, you can't remember which one's which. But eventually you went on and you, I think, fell in love with shooting. So what drew you into that?
I was secretary to Wheelchair Sports here in Adelaide, and we were invited to go to a rifle range and have a look at rifle shooting because there were people in Adelaide, in the hospital, or Adelaide Hospital, who were country boys who had broken their back in an accident, and they wanted to know how to shoot to run their farms and their cattle stations and things. So they approached Wheelchair Sports in Adelaide and said, you know, do you do rifle shooting, or how can my people in wheelchairs look after the properties? They need to be able to do rifle shooting. So that's why we went off to the range and had a go. And I put the first shot straight down into the centre of the target, 20 metres away, and I'd never held a rifle before. But I was an archer, and there's certain things that you do in both archery and shooting that's very similar. So I Then they said, they laughed at me, the people, the rifle shooters who'd been shooting for years, they laughed at me and said, you might be a natural shooter, you better have another go. And I said, oh, yes, all right. And I didn't know anything about rifles. I said, where do you want me to shoot this time? Oh, I'll get another 10, get in the middle. And I did. And then they looked at me and they said, you are a natural shooter, you better take it up. And that's when I started, about 1974, 75, and then 76 I went to the Paralympics and got the gold. And the men didn't like it.
Do you remember how it felt in those early days, I guess compared to, you know, when you were in the convent school and, you know, people were sort of thinking, oh, well, Libby's not going to do much, and then suddenly you're going on overseas trips and, you're recognised and you're, you know, naturally gifted at something. What was, yep, how did that kind of shape your life or change your life? Do you remember how you felt?
Oh, I was sort of on top of the world, I think. I really enjoyed meeting other people like me who were disabled and in wheelchairs, and some of them were polio victims, had polio. So, you know, they could have walked once upon a time and now they're in a chair or with calipers and sticks like me. I had calipers on and sticks. And I think, you know, we have a lot of things in common because there's a lot of things we can't do, or we try and do it differently. And I think, you know, that's what really helped me overcome my, I suppose, my life, really. Because when I was at school, as I said, I was at a normal school and I was the only one in a wheelchair. So I knew little about disabled people, and I'm a good listener. A lot of people wanted to open up to me and tell me about their disability or their accident that they have, and now they're in a wheelchair with a broken spine. And I did a lot of wheelchair sport training and things out at Hampstead Centre, which was the rehabilitation for people with broken backs and necks. So I spent a lot of time, you know, and I had my own car, So I was driving with hand controls, and, you know, I taught other people in wheelchairs to showed them how I drive and with the hand controls. So then they wanted to learn, and sometimes some of them I taught how to drive. You know, I get there because I stood up in calipers and sticks, so I could. I was a bit mobile, not only in the chair. I was mobile with calipers and sticks and surgical boots. So, you know, I was able to throw another wheelchair into the car and have two chairs, mine and the fella next to me in the chair, and taught him how to drive around the Hampstead Centre Hospital. So, you know, I had a lot to do with disabled people right as soon as I started wheelchair activity, wheelchair sport.
And do you have a favourite Paralympic Games or a favourite Paralympic memory that really sticks in your mind?
Oh, yes, when I've done exceedingly well. And that was 1988. And I got 3 gold and 1 silver. Something that not many people do. So, you know, naturally you're very excited about it. And that particular event, Stan, my husband, who's also disabled through polio, he was participating in lawn bowls. And when I'd finished the shooting, one of the shooting matches, the coach said to me, "You can go down and watch him because it's his last bowling in." So I watched him win gold and I just won gold. So it was a very outstanding, wonderful game.
High-achieving couple. And yeah. I also read that you competed against your husband, Stan, at the Sydney 2000 Paralympics. What was that like?
Oh, well, we both trained together and we worked together at it. And Stan came 10th in the world and I came 5th or 3rd. I didn't get a medal, but I was in the final and Stan didn't miss the final by 2 shots.
Did the two of you meet through sport?
Yep, Stan came out to have a go after I'd been involved about 3 years. And he was mobile with 1 caliper on 1 leg and no wheelchair, but he used a wheelchair for all sport. He played wheelchair basketball and racing and field events and then took up lawn bowls and then took up shooting. So he did a lot of variety of sports, but I continued with the sport I was winning with. That was shooting.
Yeah. And you were the flag bearer at Atlanta in 1996. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That was a wonderful experience and a wonderful, wonderful time. And my husband and my 2 sons all came to Atlanta to watch and watch me carry the flag. And then we had a trip around America on the way home. So all together, it was a marvelous, marvelous time, 1996.
What do you remember about the ceremony and carrying the flag?
I was a bit in awe of it all. Today they don't usually have someone pushing a person in a wheelchair holding the flag because they have an attraction that they put on the chair so the flag can go onto that and you can still push yourself around. I was delegated one of the members of the team, able-bodied team members, and he pushed me around. I would love to have pushed myself and not been pushed, but that wasn't possible. And that was the thing I was disappointed about. Other than that, it was an amazing, amazing night to look up and see all the people waving and screaming and yelling. And the whole night was a bit of a blur now.
And you competed, I think, in 12 Paralympics, you know, throughout your career. You must have seen a lot of changes, and I would imagine that the way people perceive the Paralympics and also people with disabilities changed a lot during that time as well. What are the main kind of differences that you noticed across that time?
The biggest difference, I think, really is the number of athletes. You know, the numbers have improved, particularly in the Paralympics. You know, there's something like 4,500 athletes, I think, in Paris next week, and when we started, there's 400.
You mentioned before, you know, that you kind of found a community through wheelchair sport, and that's obviously been a huge part of your life. Can you tell me, I guess, how that's shaped your life and you know, the impact it's had for you and also for your family?
Yeah, well, it's given me a very normal life, really. You know, I'm Libby. And then the wheelchair comes second. And that's how I've been treated all my life, like that. And I think that's, you know, even my own parents, they treated, although I was living on the floor until I was 7 years of age, when I stood up for the first time in my life, you know, I was included in everything. And my mother used to make, sew the bottoms of jeans or jumpers in so that my feet didn't drag on the ground. And then I could crawl everywhere, out in the garden, all over the garden. And we lived with my father's father, my grandpa, and he loved his garden. And I used to go out with him and do gardening with him, all from the ground, do it all on the ground. And so, you know, I led a very normal life, although in a different way. I wasn't, instead of standing and running around, I was on the ground crawling around. But I could crawl as fast as my sisters and brothers were running beside me. I was very fast at crawling. So, you know, I had a really good life. And I can't remember to this day when my parents were upset that I was a disabled person. I'm sure they suffered behind my back and I didn't know about it. But I never once did I hear my parents or even my brothers and sisters, you know, call me in names or laugh at me because I'm always on the ground crawling around, not walking like them. I never, ever, ever. And I got teased at school, of course, it's natural. But, you know, I learned to live with that. That wasn't my family. They were just my friends and my close friends. And Denver teased me, but some friends who are not close friends did tease me at school. But that's, you know, that's kids and that's normal. You know, I was the only one in a wheelchair throughout Loretto. And because my mother had gone through that school, that's why they allowed me to be there. But I had a wonderful time at Loretto. And, you know, I was always a good talker. I'm still talking.